Let's turn to Philippians chapter number 4, and I'll be looking primarily at verse number 5. And again, I just want to say how much I appreciate each and every one of you. I can't ever say that enough, and I don't think I can ever express how sincere I am in saying that, you know, and just seeing how the Lord has worked here and the things He's done. And, you know, I was talking to Preacher Wynn, I guess it was yesterday, and how busy he is and things that he's doing, you know, and just kind of joking around, you know, it's going to take 5 preachers to help cover him being gone, you know, and 4 of them are here in this church, you know. I mean, that's a blessing. I mean, it really is, you know, between the schools and the different services and the radio broadcast, everything he's got going on, it's just amazing. And also, I just want to thank God for the open doors that he's given to me. Counting it up, and if nothing happens, I'm supposed to do what they call their call to worship that they have on AM 1450, and that's supposed to be the week of February 20th through the 24th. And that was just kind of an unexpected thing, but, you know, the Lord opened it up, and I thank him for that, because, you know, it just seems like sometimes you can get so discouraged, or I've been very discouraged about things, applying for jobs and trying to do everything like that to seek where the Lord would have me to go. It seems like I get no thanks, but then so many more doors open in the ministry. And I thank him for that. That's an answer to prayer in itself. And, you know, we can't ever sell our Lord short. And I just thank him so much for what he's doing in my life. And we'll go ahead and start the message here. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And this is a message that I'd been studying, I guess, off and on now for a couple of weeks. I remember when I woke up early one Sunday morning, and I had a thought on my mind, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I was going to possibly use this to open the service that morning. And I can't remember exactly what happened. For whatever reason, I wasn't able to use it, but I was thankful because there was more to it than just a few minutes could bring out, just, you know, a 5 or 10 minute thing. And I just got to thinking about what a blessing it would be to preach about this. It's a simple message. It's a simple title. It's on moderation. You know, for a long time now, I've just been thinking about balance of life. I've found myself talking to my wife, and it just seems like even in our family sometimes, or in talking to other people, they seem like things are out of balance. Sometimes things, it just don't feel right. It's like almost like you're not able sometimes to put your finger on it, but things just feel kind of out of balance. And as I was thinking about that, this verse came to my mind, and the Lord allowed me to study it, and I'm thankful for what he showed me in this message. But if you think the word balance, simply it just means each side of equal weight, just things being in balance. One of the most common things that I think about is as far as balance is on our vehicles, our tires being in balance. For things to run smooth, they put weights on both sides, or they weight it out so it'll run smooth and your vehicle will run smooth and it won't be wobbly. For any of you that's ever thrown a weight or something like that, you can feel a difference in your car. There'll be some vibration in it. It won't run smooth. Your tires will wear out sooner, possibly affect your alignment. Things won't run right, and your vehicle, it could veer one way or the other. It's just out of balance. And as I kept looking at this and thinking about my life independently, then my wife, my family, some things started to open up that I just really got to take to heart. And tonight I want to start out with Dad. I want to start out with me. The men here, are you in balance? Is your life in balance? I mean, think about your responsibilities. You're the spiritual head of your home. You're the head of your home and the spiritual head of your home. Think about your responsibilities and the things. I mean, are you really doing it? I kept thinking about things like sometimes when it just didn't look like it was doing right, and I'm like, why are we having these little troubles? Why are we having these little problems? And sure enough, they're still going to come regardless what we do, but how we respond and things we do can make it easier, can make it better. I got to looking at myself and thinking about what kind of example am I being? Am I leading my family the way I should? Am I part of the problem? Am I helping my family? Am I hindering my family? And I was reading a book, and it's from Dr. Stinnett Ballou, and it's called, I think it's called The Home, America's Number One Problem. And I've been reading a lot of that this week, and it's just kind of give me some ideas and some things about it, about how important it is to be what I am supposed to be. And I know that there's a new movie that's been out, or it's been out a while. It's called Courageous, and it's kind of, that's kind of fresh on my mind. And it's a good thing. It's something that it encourages men to be the father that they're supposed to be. It encourages them to be the person that they're supposed to be for their family. But you know, when I watch it, it's very good. You can be emotionally involved with it. But I want to be, what I want to talk about tonight is being spiritually involved. Because there's things that you're going to face that you just can't handle on your own. And that's something I've learned in myself. And you know, Dad, are you doing everything that you're supposed to be doing tonight? And I know that there might not be a lot of young children here, but there's plenty of parents here tonight. You know, their obligation of prayer doesn't stop when your child moves out. That continues. I thank God for my mom and my dad. I've been able to go to them and talk to them and express all my concerns. And I'm thankful for that. There's roads and bridges that they've been on and crossed that I need some help with. They can answer a lot of questions that I have. You know, and I was thinking about if dad's out of balance just himself, it's not just himself he's affecting, it's his family. There's more people to it. And then, of course, that led me to mom, and I got to thinking about mom a little bit. You know, there's some cases where, talking about families and things being out of balance, dad's not even in the picture. And that's sad, but in our country today, that's just how it is. There's a lot of dads that's just not even there for their family. And they're going to be held accountable for that. You know, whatever the circumstances may be, we are going to be held accountable for what we do unto God. And I was thinking about mom. Is mom in the place that she should be? Is she doing what she should be doing? You know, I understand, and what I'm talking about here is moderation. I know people have to work. I know things. I'm not saying anything contrary, okay? But, you know, if dad comes home and his mind is too much on his work to be with his family, that's a problem. And it's the same thing with mom. It's a problem. You know, there's no telling what's going on in your child's life. There's no telling. If your child comes straight home and runs straight to the bedroom, you don't even know, there's no conversation about what happened during the day at school, you could miss a whole thing. I found myself just here recently looking back, and sometimes I look at Josh and I'm thinking, where did that little baby go? Where did it go? And I think back to a time in my life that, and a good part of his life, that I was out of the will of God. I'm accountable for that. Praise God that we are where we are tonight. I was thinking the other week what a blessing it was and what a humbling experience it was for me to see him stand up here. Man, that blessed my heart. Because a few years ago, I wasn't even in church. I could have missed my window of opportunity like we were talking about. But you know, thank God that he put me back where he intended me to be. If dad's out of balance, the family's out of balance. If mom's out of balance, the family's going to be out of balance. And if the child's out of balance, the child too, there's a little bit of something for everything here, you know. I keep thinking about this. The child is watching every move we make, everything we do. I love watching Josh. I mean, it's honestly, it's comical, but it's serious at the same time to watch how he works. He'll run to me, and you all are familiar. Every parent here will be familiar with this. Mom said it's okay if you say it's okay. Well, now the pressure's on me. Because if I say no, he'll be mad and mom will be mad. And I'm the bad guy. Come to find out, hadn't really talked to mom yet. You know, and you know, things that, and you can tell I've been hanging out with Preacher Wynn because the word that came to my mind was bureaucracy when I thought about this. There's no wonder where that comes from, the red tape. Because, you know, when the child starts seeing how mom and dad don't work together so well, they get to arguing about something and they pick up on that. They pick up on times to try to bring up things. Well, now would be a good time to slide this in so I can get my way and move on. And I kept thinking about that. And you know, it's just something to watch how your child will use you so early on. I mean, there's times when discipline has to come, and I think about it, and you know, and mama's mama, she don't like that. She don't like it. And, you know, the more he carries on, the more upset I get sometimes. And then now she's on me, and now he's on me, and I've got to make a decision. What do I do? Do I go with the people and give them what they want to make them happy, or do I stick with the Constitution, the Bible? What do? You know, it's, you know, in thinking about these things and looking at it, people want to be popular. People want to be liked. One of the things that I've thought about so much, especially here recently, is now, how's this going to work? What if a potential employer hears something I preach and that offends them? What am I going to do? Do I need to kind of watch what I say because I don't want to hurt my potential employer? See, this is really hitting home with me. I don't want to become what we've been preaching against. We have to stay with this Bible. This is what God gave us. This is His Word. Some people today do not believe that that's God's word, but I do. I do. And see, mom and dad's going to have to start partnering up. Mom and dad's going to have to be a team. And I'm not preaching anything that you haven't heard, but I'm new, and as it's coming in, I'm trying to put it out. And I just kept looking at this, and I'm thinking, if mom and dad is reading now the same book, and they're studying together like they should be, that should cut out a lot of inconsistencies, a whole lot of it. But now if mom and dad don't practice that family altar, that family time of prayer and that family time of study, it's just an open season, just wide open. And it's almost like people have got to the point they're just going to kind of wing it along. And then, like myself, look back and say, he's getting ready to be 10 years old. Where did that go? Where did it go? Knowing that I didn't do what I should have done all those years. And I looked at this, I see the dad's out of balance, the mom's out of balance, causes the child to be out of balance. Now the entire home is out of balance. After you look at the home, where does that lead? That leads to the church. That leads to the church here. How many homes are represented here tonight? And if the home's out of balance, and those people that are supposed to be the leaders in their home are in the church, does that mean the church is out of balance? I mean, is things running like they should, or is it a little bumpy? And of course, if the church is out of balance, the country's out of balance. And I think we all can look and see exactly where the country's at. You know, and I got to looking a little bit further and thinking about this too, about there's no balance without salvation. There's no hope of even beginning to be balanced if you're not saved. Your life will automatically be out of balance. Daniel 5:27 says, Tekel, and that's capital T-E-K-E-L. That means weighed. Thou hast been weighed in the balances and art found wanting. If you're lost, you're out of balance. You've not even got to get up on the scale yet if you're lost. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation, the state of being moderate, or of keeping a due mean between extremes or excesses of violence, restrain of violent passions or indulgence of appetite, calmness of mind, equanimity, as to bear prosperity or adversity with moderation. A little example I was thinking about here to go along with the word moderation. You know, everything, do things within moderation. When I think of moderation, I think of balance. I think about when we have our business meeting, you have the moderator. You have Preacher Wynn stands up here at the position of the moderator. He's in the middle. He's kind of the one at this point that's kind of holding the balance. He's making sure that everything is kept in order and done orderly. And I got to thinking about this, about moderation. Just a simple example is, have you ever noticed somebody or seen somebody, and you probably can think of somebody when I say this, that seems to usually have a little bit of money about all the time? I'm not saying that they're rich. I'm not saying anything like that. But usually about all the time, they can go and have just a little bit of money in their pocket. That's an example of somebody who uses moderation. I'll give you another example. I thought about my brother automatically when he was a young boy, when he's just a baby and us growing up. But I was the same way. But I remember that when we would go, our grandmother or our aunts would take us out shopping. They'd give us some money. And we'd go and we'd look and we'd shop and we'd finally find the toy that we wanted. We'd buy the toy. They'd give us back our change. Well, now we've got our toy. We should be content with that. Put some back and save it. But that's not what we did. Because on the way out, you've got the claw machine. Got that. You got the bubble gum machine. You got the bouncy ball machine. And beside that, of course, if you had a couple of dollars, you had to go to the coin dispenser because you had to use every bit of it up. You can't take it home. That was the mentality. And with saying all that, now look back at our country. Our country is basically being run by kids, if you really want to be technical about it. It's the same mentality as that. I've got to spend it all up. But now, with credit and everything, I'm going to spend it all up, and then I'm going to borrow some to spend some more. Our country's out of balance. Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 11. Verse number 1, it says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. For everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. When I looked at that and I got to thinking about verse number 11 primarily, I got to looking about who's holding the weight in his hands. And that's the Lord. We know that. We can see that. Even without reading that, we know that. But do we act like that? Do we apply that? Do we live our lives like God is the one that's holding the balance? Or do we look at another man like he's holding the balance? I've been guilty of that. I look around and I see what I see physically, and I think about, what can I do to please man, to better myself, my life? What am I supposed to do, like with an employer, say? And you try to please another man. You try to go their way as far as you can go, but then where do you draw the line? Are you going to go all the way with them, even if they're not following this Bible? Or are you going to stop when they stop? When I kept looking at this too, I got to thinking about preaching. You know, am I going to be afraid when I get up to preach what I'm going to say? Because in my mind, is man holding the balance or is God holding the balance? Should I be more concerned with pleasing man or pleasing God? Because at the end of it, who's holding the balance? Who's going to judge me? I mean, there's been times, you know, in talking with, in hearing the preaching that we've had just recently and thinking about the coming, possible coming persecutions and things that's going on, I've experienced enough just recently that things have really hit home with me. This is real. This is not something that you just fantasize about or think about, but this is a real situation. I never thought that I'd find myself in the position I'm in, especially for this length of time. But it's happened, and it's opened my eyes. It's opened my eyes to a lot of things, and think about, you know, what I would say a lot of times is, it ain't going to happen to me. Not that I'm somebody, not that I'm worthy, but it's just not going to happen to me because I'm just one in a whole big sea of people. Nobody's even going to see me. I'm just along for the ride. That changed really, really quick. Don't ever think that things cannot happen to you. I mean, it's one of those things, it's been such an eye-opening experience to me because I think about, well, if this happened, this other thing, you know, the preaching I've been hearing about coming persecutions, I can see that being a real situation. Just for what you believe can cost you. Don't think that it can't. I've seen enough and I've experienced enough to know that. Not that I'm anybody and I'm not claiming to be. But this is real. I've talked to different people who have worked for years and found themselves, what am I going to do? Now you think about as time goes on, as things begin to intensify. Think about that. I know it's probably easy to kind of just fairy tale it, but you know, I've seen some movies and different things that kind of talk about the end of the earth, the end of the world. Of course, I don't buy into what they're talking about. But you don't know exactly what's going to happen between now and the time that the Lord comes back. We none do. Now, I believe with all my heart the church will be taken out before the tribulation. I believe that. The Bible says so. But things can get bad before the tribulation. I'm not being a gloom and a doomsday kind of person. I'm not trying to get you down, but I do want you to be prepared. I do want you to be thinking ahead because it is that important. There's things that I would have done so differently if I could have thought ahead. If I could have, you know, I talked to different people. It's like, well, I sold a bunch of this because I saw it coming. You didn't see it coming. You didn't know that it was going to happen exactly the way it happened. But we do know that the world is waxing worse and worse. But we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Number one that I talked about there is the balance and moderation. Number two, the battle. A battle is a fight or encounter between enemies. Spiritual warfare. Violent. That word was in back in the definition of moderation. It was in there quite a bit. It was the the restraint of violent passions or indulgence of appetite. Violent, that means forcible, moving or acting with physical strength, urged or driven with force. Vehement, outrageous, produced or continued by force, not spontaneous or natural. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 8 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He is our enemy, plain and simple. Don't ever think for one second that he's not your enemy. And as I was studying this and looking back and thinking about the home, about us individually, have you made yourself an easy target for the devil? And I got to looking, and just as an example, think about a sniper that's hidden where you can't really see him. And he's overlooking this whole big wide open field. Where are you at in that field? Are you an easy target? Are you an easy target for the devil? Is how you're living make you an easy target? Without protection, we cannot take him on ourselves. We can't do that. I mean, and I think we all here know that, but if by chance you think, well, I think I can kind of wing it, well, you can't. I can't. Verse number 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's where you have to stay. That's where we have to stay. Don't get complacent and think that things aren't that bad. I can just kind of just wing it. I can kind of just go forward. I can pull myself out. Don't ever think that you can do that, because you'll find out sooner or later that you can't. It's not within you to be able to do that. You know, I was thinking also about rivalries. There's no greater rivalry than what you see between the Lord and Satan. I was thinking tonight about Carolina and Duke. I'm sure a lot of people know that they're playing tonight. That's one of the biggest rivalries that you hear about in sports today. But you think about how their minds probably are right now, one side versus the other. Their coaches are preparing them physically, mentally, especially there was a loss. I think Duke had a loss the other night. Now you know how important it is when they come out tonight that they give their all to beat this rivalry. You think about your life. Think about your life. We've seen a miracle happen this weekend. We've seen God's people pray together, and we've seen a 79-year-old man get saved that was on his deathbed. That's a victory. That's a big victory. That's what I would call an upset. Because you think about somebody who lived 79 years right here. I've got him. He's mine. And you ain't nothing you can do about it. I got him now. He can't even think straight. He's not in his mind. I've got him. There's a window of opportunity. Where did that window come from? Was people praying? That's real. That's real. You have to give credit where it's due. Only God can do those things. And I just don't want to be an easy target. He's going to fight. He's going to fight every one of us. You know, a lot of times here recently, I've been at home more so here during the winter with the way everything's been. And I've had a lot of good time to study, and I thank God for that. It's been very good for me. But you know, there's been times that kind of get down. Just kind of by myself. My family left. And when Brandy and Josh leaves, it's quiet. When they're there, there's always something going on. But, you know, I found myself just in a few days, just kind of, you know, I'd study a while and step away from it and just think about life. Just think about things. And it's easy to get down. I mean, you know, you think about, well, Brandy's grandfather's sick. This was before he got saved. He's sick. And, you know, we like to go down and, boy, I've been applying for jobs and been doing these things. Just, Lord, give me some direction. What am I doing wrong? And before you know it, the devil's right there beside of you. Saying, buddy, you missed it. You done missed this whole last year. You just missed it. Now what are you going to do? You see, our mind is such an important thing. Your mind has to be prepared. There's great emphasis put on the spirit, and rightfully so. But one thing that I think about is my mind. I'm an analyzer. I analyze everything. If somebody walks by me today and says hello, great. If somebody walks by me tomorrow and doesn't say it, what did I do? What have I done? Did I say something? Is it something that I preached that they didn't like? What is it? Your mind, my mind, you know. And getting to the point of just being so consumed sometimes and worrying about what other people think. See, that's where I've messed up. They're not holding the balance. God is holding the balance. Number three, the blessed. We've had the battle. We've had the balance. And now the blessed. Blessed means enjoying spiritual happiness and favor of God. That word that that I read over in the definition of moderation, the word equanimity, that means evenness of mind. That calm temper or firmness of mind, which is not easily elated or depressed, which sustains prosperity without excessive joy and adversity without violent agitation of the passions or depression of the spirits. Evenness of mind, maturity, spiritual maturity, to be more specific about it. It's amazing how the more I read in the Bible, how much more my faith grows. How much more my confidence grows in the Lord. That tells me it's very important to read my Bible. We're talking about the family altar earlier and not wanting to be an easy target. I can't emphasize how important it is to read your Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, you're sitting duck. You are an easy target for the devil. Because if you sit there and you let your mind take over, you're an easy target. You're sitting right there in the middle of the field and he's got you right in his sights. Isaiah 26 verses 3 through 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know, we was talking just a minute ago about not knowing how things are going to happen. See, we don't need to be so concerned about how every little thing is going to happen if our mind is on the Lord. You can read through Revelation. I got some scripture here I want to read. Revelation 22, verses 8 through 10. And it says, I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keeps the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy, of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Also, if we go back and read here in Philippians, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. What greater time? We talk about how dark it is and how hard it is right now to... I don't know what it was like to preach 20 years ago. And you go back and you see kind of how it was when Schubel Stearns and some of these people in Baptist history, when they... Schubel Stearns, he was called the Apostle Paul of the backcountry. He was going through the country. He was trailblazing it, telling the gospel. It was new to so many people. It was a new thing. But, you know, I got to thinking about how some people, and they have said how exciting it would have been to preach then versus how it is now. Well, we still have our freedoms now. We still got an opportunity now. And, you know, and I keep thinking, too, about just that little light. You know, we can get to a point of thinking, well, we're really just not doing much. You know, I'm new at this, and I'm not making any headway. But you know, I do feel like there's just a little bit of light shining. And yes, it is dark. And Josh, you know, I always like to pick on him when I go by his room. And especially if it's night, I always try to scare him and pick on him. And I just walk by real quick and hit his switch and walk on through. The first thing he does is run back for that light switch. See, if we were let our shine, even if it's just a little light, let it shine. God can use us. God can do things through us. You know, my hope is in Him. I'm just so thankful for everything that He's done for me, everything that He is doing for me and has done. But that's one thing that, and this lesson, this message was for me tonight, and just thinking about my moderation. Am I making my moderation known? Am I doing what I should be doing? And that's what I want you to take home with you tonight. Are you doing, dad, mom, child, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? You know, if we don't do what we're supposed to do at home, we won't have revival at church. It does start at home. You know, I know a lot of people are praying for it, but if we wait till we get to church to pray for it, we're missing it. We're missing it. There has to be preparation at home. And we each individual have a responsibility. And that's what I have tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.